teaching several principles along these lines. And tonight I want to move along. We've been talking about some different things, maybe just for a moment to review. We talked about, in introducing this, we need to understand, the first thing is we need to understand that we have a destiny in God. Amen. Yeah, it changes everything about your life when you really, I mean, not just, you know, I know, we, you know, how many of you know we can get some things up here, can't we? You know, and most of us have got more up here than we do down here. That's true for all of us. You know, in other words, I know more in my head than I'm able to live out yet. But here's the thing. When you get this truth about destiny, you get it down in your heart, not only up here, but you get it in your heart. It changes everything. It changes everything. No longer are we living a superficial, materialistic life like everybody else around us. Are you listening? You know, most people, they're living for, you know, and again, nothing wrong with any of these things. But listen, that, you know, it's kind of like an onion. You know, you ever peeled an onion? You take off a layer and there's another layer. you peel that thing until all the layers. And it's that way. And so what we want to do when we discover, really discover, that God has a divine destiny, purpose, plan that is eternal, that comes from the heart of God, that is special and unique for us. It brings us down to the very core of our existence, our being. And we move from that superficial level of just living for education, career, buying a house, retiring, all those things. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Don't misunderstand me. But we move beyond that. And rather than those things determining how we live our life and determining how I make my decisions and all, we come back and destiny becomes the rudder of our life. It's God's plan for me. That is the bottom line. I may consider other things, but the bottom line is going to be, what is God's will? What is God's divine direction and destiny in my life? And based on that, I decide whether I will or I won't, or I go here or I go there, or I live here or I live there, or I take this job or don't take that job, or I marry this person or don't marry this person, or whatever our case may be, all of that. Because all of a sudden, we've got something that's more permanent. Amen? You know, that great situation, that great job you thought you had. You know, it can go. You know, I'm not trying to be negative, but you know, things can change, can't they? But here's the thing: God's calling, God's purpose, God's destiny, that never will change. He's never going to say, "Whoops, sorry, made a mistake." No, He will not do that. So we talked about getting that settled in our life. That truth has got to be firmly planted. And remember, we looked in Ephesians 2:10. You remember that? God said that He's called us, He's preordained, predestined. His plan for us is predestined. In other words, God's got it there. Now, we have to understand this. Because it's predestined doesn't mean that it's automatic. See, you have a free will that God's given you. God had a predestined plan for Adam and Eve, didn't He? And it wasn't the way they went. He had something much greater, something much better than that. So when I say predestined, don't get the idea, oh, that means, you know, okay, it's automatic. No, because God, in all of His sovereign will, in all of His omniscience and everything, He has decided that He is going to make and has made us in His image. And being in His image, one of the key components of that is that we are given free will. We can choose. We have the power to choose. And so we need to understand that. And then we talked about, you know, positioning, you know, how that God positions. And we spent quite some time on that. And I'm not going to be able to review all that, you know, but we talked about how that God is endeavoring to position us both spiritually and in the natural to get us to a place to where we begin to walk out that destiny and plan and purpose of God. And of course, we have an enemy, don't we? And the enemy is also trying to thwart that plan by bringing in his devices to move us out of position. And we talked about that, and I won't get into all that. But, you know, the enemy uses doubt. He uses fear. He uses unforgiveness. He uses strife. You know, all the stuff, all the junk he uses to get us out of our a spiritual position where God can flow and move through us and fulfill our destiny. And here's the thing, too. We remember this, that my destiny, because even though we're individuals, we're all part of one body, aren't we? Okay. And Paul said this. He said, if one part of the body suffers, what? The whole body suffers. And here's what we've got to understand. And remember, we talked about this because of our culture here in America. We're so independent, you know, and there are good things about that. I'm not kicking our country. But with every, how many know there's no perfect culture? Every culture has been corrupted by sin. Amen. And there are good things, and then there's some things that are not so good. Isn't that true? And so that independence has been good in many ways. But when it comes to the body of Christ, sometimes we bring that independence to an extreme, and we don't understand that we're also interdependent. And so here's the thing. We can say, well, it's not that big a deal to me. You know, as long as I'm saved and I make it to heaven, it's not that big a deal whether I fulfill God's purpose and plan. But here's the thing. We're interdependent. And there's going to be some degree, because you're in the body of Christ, that your choices are going to affect the rest of us.
That's right.
Isn't that true?
Yep.
Haven't we been seeing that in the news this year?
Sure.
There's some people that in the body of Christ made some bad choices. Mm-hmm. You think it didn't affect the rest of us? Sure it did. Sure it did. You know, if I choose to hold a grudge and I'm not going to forgive you, there's no way that's not going to affect the body. There's no way. If I'm talking and gossiping, spreading strife, doesn't matter even if it's true. You know, just because it's true doesn't mean that it's okay to do it. Gossip's not just talking about things that are, you know, that are just outright lies. Okay. You know. We're not talking about defamation of character. We're just talking about if you talk about anything, if you're talking about another person in the body of Christ, if it's not edifying, if it's not building them up, if it's not speaking words of grace, then I want to tell you what, it's going to affect.
Sure.
It's like a poison that just goes out and affects. So we talked about all this, and this is what the enemy tries to do to get us out of position. Because, you know, he doesn't care how much you talk. You can talk about what all we're going to do and praise God and what all God said and what all the Bible says and everything. But here's the thing. If we're not walking it out, it doesn't mean anything. Isn't that true? It's hypocrisy. So the enemy tries to, and all of us, he tries to put pressure on us. He tries to move us into fear, into this, into that, whatever it is. And we talked about how that God also is positioning us. And some of the things that he uses, we didn't talk about them all, but some of the things that we talked about that he uses is that he will use people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something. You will never fulfill God's purpose and destiny for your life by yourself.
That's right.
God has designed it that way. Whether you like it or not, you need the rest of us. I know, you know, that's either a cause for being happy or not, or whatever. But that's true, isn't it? And so God brings people into our lives.
Yeah.
He brings people into our lives to help to develop us spiritually, to help mentor us, to speak into our lives, to teach us, to impart to us. I mean, sometimes even we come around people that seem to be, God, this is the last person I need to be around, you know. But here's the thing. When you get around this person, they got this bad attitude or something like that, all of a sudden you discover things rising up in you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And they might not be all that pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I say this jokingly all the time, but it's true. You know, when I'm by myself, I'm the greatest guy alive. You know what I mean? Man, I mean, you know, no problems. Everything's just hunky-dory, right? The problem is that God didn't call us to live as an island. So when we get around other people, what? Things begin. And that's when God can begin to deal with things. Okay, so we looked at that, and I'm just hitting a couple of highest points. And then we talked about how, through life experiences, we talked about that. We talked about how God uses circumstances and works in our life. We looked at Joseph. We looked at Abraham. So you can either go online and download and listen to those free, or you can order the, the tapes and copy it. So I want to move beyond that, the positioning, whereby God positions us both spiritually. And also we talked just a little bit, not a lot, but we talked about, and I believe we're going to see this more, God's going to position people geographically.
Amen.
When, you know, we talked about it, when God created Adam and Eve and gave them the plan and purpose, he put them in a specific location to fulfill it. When God called Abraham, he said, you can't fulfill it here in Ur. You got to get over here to Canaan.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right?
And even when they went into Egypt, God couldn't fulfill his perfect plan. Yeah, they increased and they multiplied, but it wasn't God's perfect plan. They had to what? Come out of Egypt and get back over here in the Canaan land. Isn't that true? When God raised up Paul, he sent him where? He sent him to the Gentiles. Remember we talked about how Paul tried to go to the Jews, he tried to go to the synagogues, and every time he did, I mean, man, he started a riot. Because that wasn't where God called him to. He had a heart for him, but that wasn't where God called him. And as soon as he got positioned and he began to go to the Gentiles, he began to show fruit and have success, didn't he? So we talked about those aspects, and I think that more and more we're going to see God positioning people even geographically. Mm-hmm. That we're not going to be moving just about our job, we're going to be moving about the kingdom.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a deeper level, mm-hmm. Okay, of us understanding and following the destiny of God. Now, that doesn't mean everybody. I mean, you know, you may be, we're singing a song there. It's okay. I've done that too. So anybody else, if you forgot to put yours on vibrate, that's a reminder for all of us. No big deal. But, you know, that God may not speak to everybody. I'm not saying everybody. But here's the thing. We need to be open to it. Mm-hmm. Would you be open to it? I said, would you be open to it? That's a question we have to answer ourselves. Because we're going to see that happen more and more. Because here's the thing. The Bible says, remember we looked at that. It says, and God has set each one in the body as it pleases him. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of you believe that we ought to make Jesus Lord as well as Savior? Well, if he's Lord, then if he says, go over here, what should we do? If it's convenient, right? I don't know what your experience has been, but, you know, the big things in my life that God's asked me to do, they haven't been convenient. And, you know, the funny thing is he never asked me if it would be. I think he thinks he's God. I think he's right. Isn't that true? So, you know, so that's a part of it, too. Now, tonight I want to talk about another point. If we're going to fulfill and walk out. Now, see, I'm talking to people who want God's best. Now, you know, if you're satisfied, that's between you and God, okay? That's your business. But here's the thing. If we want God's best, then we're going to have to do this. And, you know, it's not only true individually, it's true of a church. You know, some people say, well, why is it that it seems like, you know, God's moving in this church or God's moving, you know, and blessing this and that? Well, a lot of it has to do with things I'm talking about right here. You get enough people who get hungry, who want God's best, who pursue after this, who are willing to be obedient and do it. And I'm going to tell you what, that's where the blessing of God is. I want to say that, you know, I know, you know, we live in this politically correct world, you know, where, you know, we want to reduce everything to the absolute lowest denominator. You know, we lower the bar to the point to where it's just on the ground. But God doesn't work that way. Are you listening to me? Now, it's true, we're saved by grace. You can't earn it. You can't work it. But I want to tell you what, the blessings of God, the fruitfulness of God, that does have to do with our obedience.
That's right.
I said that does have to do with our obedience.
Amen.
The Bible's clear about that. And see, if we're not careful, we let that stuff creep in. We think, well, it really doesn't matter. You know, God will just, you know, and we come up with this idea, well, God just decided to bless them and hadn't decided to bless us. I got news for you. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. God says if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Isn't that what he said? So here's the thing. If we're going to follow after God's destiny, we have got to cultivate and become aggressive and bold. Mm-hmm. Aggressive and bold. One of the devices, one of the things that the enemy tries to use through our flesh is this thing of passivity and comfort.
Amen.
We all got a comfort zone. As long as we're in that comfort zone, glory to God, everything's wonderful. Remember when you first got saved? You were born again. Hallelujah. And you got born again. Your sins were forgiven and everything. Man, that was a comfort zone, wasn't it? You were good with that. Man, praise God. It's good to be saved. And then somebody, you know, you got around somebody started talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you were like, I don't know about this. I don't know. Man, maybe you heard somebody speak in tongues. You're like, I don't know. That's kind of strange. I don't know about that, you know. And then, you know, but you stayed open and God began to show you and the Holy Spirit began to move on you. Next thing you know, you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues yourself. And now, boy, you got another comfort zone. Hallelujah. And, you know, and it goes on, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, then the miracles, and then being led by the Spirit and stepping out in faith and taking some God risks. Hello? And so this is what we're talking about. As we follow God, God showed it to Ezekiel like this. It was like a river coming out of the throne of God. And it says that Ezekiel says he waded out a little ways and it was up to the ankles. Amen. Getting born again. He waded out a little bit more. It was up to the knees, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then he waded on out where it was waist deep, gifts of the Spirit. And he said, he moved to a place to where his feet couldn't touch bottom. You know what that meant? The river took him wherever it wanted to. And listen, this is the place where God's trying to bring us. See, as long as I can touch bottom, I'm in my comfort zone. Oh, yeah. Yeah, still there. Hallelujah. Yeah. I can lift my hands. Hallelujah. I can shout a little bit. You know. But when I can't touch bottom, I'm not in control. Well, that was weak, but that's okay. So here's the thing. I promise you this. If we do not learn to cultivate boldness in our life and aggressiveness in the Spirit in our life, in our faith life, in our walk with God, in our pursuing after His destiny, I can assure you of this, that the enemy will make sure that you do not enter in. Let's look at some examples here. Let's look over in, we'll turn to Daniel chapter 11. I want to read a verse there. You turn there. We're going to look at verse 32 in just a minute. Okay, I'm going to read another scripture too, and then we're going to come over to Daniel. Let me find that real quick. Okay, I want to read you a scripture from 1 Samuel. Just write this down. You don't have to turn there. Keep your place there at Daniel. 1 Samuel 17:48. You know the story, the background. David's dad sent him to check on his brothers. Remember, they were at battle. You know, Goliath kept coming out every day and challenging everybody. And David was out there, you know, and he would come out and challenge and everything. And David kept asking, you know, because everybody told him what would happen, what the king was going to do to the man who went out and defeated Goliath. And remember, David kept asking two or three times, now, what is it the king said he's going to do? Sounded like David was thinking about that reward, wasn't he? Come on. Sure he was. And you know, here's the thing we're going to find out too. One choice can change your life. One choice in God can change your life forever, radically. What if David had been afraid? What if he had cowered back? What if he had been unsure that God would deliver Goliath? Do you think his life would have been different? Listen to this. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran toward the battle. He ran toward the battle. What kind of spirit did David have that he ran toward Goliath? You know, it's unfortunate. My experience has been over the years that many, many spirit-filled, tongue-talking, you know, 12 Bible owning, Copeland Hagen listening, dipping. Saints, when the battle comes, they try to do everything they can to get away from Goliath. They're afraid of their Goliath. They're afraid. And see, here's the thing. And one of the reasons is if we're not understanding, this is destiny. See, all the other Israelites saw Goliath as a threat. They saw him as a possible defeat in their life. They saw it as somebody that was going to destroy them. But David saw it as an opportunity. He said, God will deliver you into my hand. And he ran toward Goliath. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is what I'm saying. We have to cultivate that same spirit. Amen. When we see, when things we call problems and circumstance, how do we see them? Do we see them as something that's standing in our way? Something that, you know, we want to try to avoid because they may defeat us. We may be a failure. We may not make it. Or do we see it as something that here is an opportunity that God has given me and God will deliver victory into my hands? And we run toward it, not away from it. Big difference. Because see, if fear, if the enemy's gotten a fear in us, and there's a fear there, fear of failure, or fear that we're going to miss it, or a fear that God won't come through, we will not seize our spiritual opportunities, our divine destiny, and we will miss it.
Yeah.
We looked at Saul, remember? We talked about how Saul, because he was afraid of what people thought, it moved him into a wrong decision.
Right.
But you know, fear can do that for any of us. And it could have done it for David. But instead, he had a heart. You know, why did God say, this is a man after my own heart? Man, look at him. Man, everybody around him was saying, he can't be beaten. He can't be defeated. I mean, some were even saying, God's raised him up. This is God is doing this, you know, and brought this guy up to show us up. I mean, isn't it funny how we can put spiritual spin on stuff? No, he was just an enemy of God, an enemy of the people of God. And we finally had one man, a young man here, David. He had a different kind of spirit. And he said, bless God. He said, God will deliver him. You know, we don't have any indication. He didn't have a word from the prophet. The prophet didn't come down and say, thus saith the Lord, David. God will surely deliver Goliath. He didn't have that. No, you read the story. Nowhere in there where the prophet came. He just said, bless God. I've got a covenant with God. I belong to God. How dare him come out? And he seized his spiritual opportunity. You know, because why? He was bold. He was bold in his faith. He was aggressive. He wasn't passive. He wasn't like, you know, most Christians, they're facing something. They believe anybody else could do a better job at it than themselves. Let's call brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They can pray. They can cast out the devil. They know what to do. Well, bless God, what about you? You're not a stepchild. Are you listening? God doesn't have any grandchildren. He just has children. He doesn't have any steps. We're all children of God. And so we want to cultivate that so that when we see something. But see, here's the thing. If you don't have a sense of destiny, then you're just kind of just every day is just unrelated to the next day. And circumstances and events and people and things come into your life. And all you're trying to do is survive. That's all his brothers were trying to do. They were hiding in the cave. They, you know, I could just see, you know, instead of them seeing who could get up to the front, everybody was trying to get to the back. Oh, I hope he don't spot me. And, you know, and yet they were trying to survive. David saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, the choice he made, I mean, it elevated him. You know why? He made a choice in God. He made a choice about destiny. He understood that. And when he made that decision, it changed his life. I want to tell you what. You know, you might ought to look at your situation a little bit different if you look through the eye of destiny. What you see as an obstacle may be the very thing God's put there for you to make a choice, a God choice. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to elevate you. It's going to change your situation. It could change your business, your finances, your family, your spiritual walk. It could change all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But if we see it as something that brings fear and we draw back, Or we get this idea, well, God will take care of it in his own good time. Come on. And see, not only is that true individually, it's true about a church. A church can get an attitude. A church can get a spirit on them where they're timid. They get this idea, well, you know, nothing much has happened here, so probably nothing's going to happen. Oh, God, yeah, I mean, you know, God will bless Trinity over there, but bless his heart. I mean, there's just something about grace. He just won't bless us. God will use this church over here. We find somebody, oh, God will move up there in Lakeland. Oh, where does it say that he's the God of Lakeland and not the God of Boynton Beach?
Amen.
I hadn't read that anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. He's God everywhere, isn't he?
Amen.
I tell you what, he's looking for some people. So we've got to cultivate that aggressiveness. In Daniel chapter 11, you found that by now, I'm sure, haven't you? Verse 32 says, with flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. Listen. Last part of that verse. But the people who know their God will do exploits.
Amen.
The people who know their God will do exploits.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing. If we're not doing exploits, it may be because we do not know God in the way that we should. We do not understand the destiny and purpose God has for my life as I should. I had a good friend of mine, Matt Gober, runs a Cane Lamb Boys Home and travels all over the world preaching everything. Ex motorcycle guy. He was a Hell's Angel. Now he's a Heaven's Angel. Big teddy bear now. But he made this statement, and I believe it's biblical. He said that the man of God, the woman of God, is indestructible until they finish their course. Amen. Are you listening? Sure. And here's the thing. When the enemy rears up in the form of circumstances or whatever it may be, when he rears his head, we oughtn't to look at that like, uh-oh, this might be my end. We ought to look at it, bless God, here's going to be another notch. Bless God in my belt for God. God's going to deliver him into my hand. This is an opportunity for destiny. I see destiny. I don't see obstacle. I don't see a problem. I see destiny. I see an opportunity to make a God choice.
Yeah.
I see an opportunity to move in faith.
Amen.
And to run toward the enemy, not away from it.
That's right.
I'm going to do exploits in God. How about you? Yeah. Amen. It's important. But turn to Proverbs 28, verse 1. This is what God has called us to, church. He hasn't called us to hunker down in the bunker. Don't hunker in the bunker. That's what the Israelites were doing, weren't they?
Yeah.
Their cave was a bunker. They were hunkering in the bunker. Don't hunker in the bunker. Run to the fight.
Amen.
Somebody years ago, I think it was a book. I forget who wrote it years ago. Said, run to the roar.
Yeah.
Run to the roar. Where'd they get that from? Well, remember what Peter said over there? He said, your adversary, okay, goes about as a roaring lion. Didn't say he was one. Says he goes about as one. Seeking whom he may or can devour. Well, that lets me know right there. There are obviously some people he can't devour. Otherwise, he wouldn't say he's seeking some. He'd just, whoever he came on, he'd devour. And here's the thing, I'll tell you this, you know, they say a lot of times when you come on, you know, a wild creature, a bear or a lion or something in the wild, worst thing you can do is run from it. You run from it, man, you've had it. We all going to have somewhere to go. A funeral. Isn't that true? And it's true in the spirit. This is what God's trying to teach us in the spirit. Don't run from the roar, run toward it.
Yeah.
You know, why would we get up and say, well, bless God, I have the armor of God. Bless God, greater is he that's in me and he that's in the world. Praise God, I've got 6,000 promises. They all belong to me. I've got the blood of the Lamb. I've got the Spirit of God. I've got the power of prayer. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got all this. And the first time the enemy rises up and goes, boo, we run. It must be that it's all up here and it hadn't got down here yet. Come on. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked man flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Amen.
You're supposed to be the lion,
mm-hmm.
not the enemy. Are you listening?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what the nickname for a lion is, don't you? King of the jungle. He's the king. Well, aren't you called? You and I are called to be what? Kings and priests in God.
Amen.
And so here's the thing. If the enemy knows this, if you follow God's plan, if you follow God's destiny, not only is your life going to be blessed, but he knows what's going to happen through your life. And you know, the enemy plays a game of containment. Are you listening?
Yeah.
He will. He will constantly try to keep you from advancing. And if you do advance, then he tries to contain you right there. He plays a game of containment. Okay, you got saved. Man, well, let's keep him away from that baptism thing. Uh-oh, she got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's keep him away from them, that gift thing and miracle stuff. And each step along the way, he tries to what? Contain you. He tries to keep you from getting there, but he contains you. He wants to do that. And he'll try to do that through getting you comfortable. He'll get misinformation to you. Oh, you don't want to go there. You don't want to get in that spirit realm, man. Them people are, they're flaky. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? Isn't it true? This is what he tries to do. And so if we don't cultivate that boldness, we miss our opportunities. Turn over to Matthew 23. This next two or three scriptures we're going to read, both insightful. It's sad in a way in looking back, but it's very insightful and hopefully will help us. Matthew 23. We're talking about, walking out God's divine destiny and plan for our life. And that if we don't cultivate an aggressive and bold spirit, a spirit of faith, if we don't have that, then I'm going to tell you what, we're going to miss out on God's best. The opportunities God has for us. I mean, you think about it. One encounter, you read over and over through the scriptures, you read in the Bible, people had one encounter with Jesus where they opened themselves up, where they seized their opportunity. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus was walking by. It looked like he was going to go pass right on by. And man, Bartimaeus, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody, we don't do that in this church. Get quiet. Remember that? And it said he just got louder. And they said, get quiet. And he just got louder. And man, all the religious people were upset because we don't do it that way. But you know what happened? It says Jesus stopped. Said, bring him to me. In that moment, that man made a decision. He made a decision. And boy, did it change his life. Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Lord, I want to see. What if he'd been passive? What if he'd have been quiet when everybody said, oh, be quiet. Oh, okay. What if he'd listened to him? Well, it's God's will for you to be blind. What if he'd have listened to all that stuff? He would have missed his opportunity, his divine destiny. And here we see Jesus, he's lamenting really over the nation of Israel here. In verse 23, and let's look down, start reading about verse 37. Jesus is speaking. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I wonder how many times he's lamented over us. Wonder how many times he said, Nars, what I wanted to do, but you wouldn't let me. See, we got this idea from the Middle Ages. It's Middle Ages. It's not biblical theology. It's Middle Ages theology. That, that this ultimate extreme sovereign view of God. That, everything that happens in my life, it's because God wanted it to. And boy, has that kept us out of so much of the good blessing and destiny God had for us. If that's true, then God's the author of sin. Because when Adam and Eve fell, then we'd have to say, then God willed that. And Paul, you know, because people were in Paul's day, if you read over there in Romans chapter 4, 5, and 6, Paul, he was talking about those who came to that same erroneous conclusion. He said, because, you know, he said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He said, therefore, are we going to say like some, since grace abounds more, let's sin more? He said, no. God's not the author of that. And we have to understand in our lives that the enemy will try to bring things in, and we will miss opportunities if we allow fear, if we allow doubt, if we allow the misinformation of the enemy, the lies to come in there. That's why we've got to be in the book. Be in the book. Listen, don't grab a hold of it just because you heard me say it. Get in the book. If what the book says and what I say is different, go with the book. The Bible. Always go with the Bible. Amen? I have no hidden motives. I don't mind. You check it out. You know, I'm human like you. I could miss it. So if it's wrong and you find out it's wrong in the Bible, just go with what's in the Bible. Say, well, God bless him, help him, Lord. But, you know, go with what's in the Bible.
Amen.
Isn't that right? But Jesus said this. He said, I wanted to, but you weren't willing. They made a choice.
Yeah.
And their choice caused them to miss out on the destiny. The Messiah came. And you know what? They missed their destiny. And to this day, Israel's still waiting for the Messiah to come.
Yeah.
Not realizing he has come,
right.
You know, as a nation. So here's the thing. We have got to be willing. Turn to Matthew 11. In God, under God, we've got to learn to become risk takers rather than settling for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to speak in the natural, and I know for most of us, you know, I'm just giving a natural example, so understand that. Okay? But here's the thing. Do you know that all the millionaires and the billionaires in the world didn't become that way because they settled for the average in the comfort zone?
That's right.
Now, I'm, like I say, I know you don't care about being a millionaire, so that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just using this as an example. Now, you know what? They had to be risk takers. Come on.
Yeah.
Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. It's true. And see, here's the thing. But maybe we want to become spiritual millionaires. By that I mean we fulfill God's destiny and his plan and purpose in my life. I make a difference in the generation that God's allowed me to live in. And here's the thing. The same thing is true about that. We've got to learn to be risk takers in faith, in the will of God, in the destiny of God. We've got to be able to look circumstance and problems and impossibilities sometimes in the face and say, you know what? I will not stay in my comfort zone. I refuse to allow that thing to squeeze me. Remember in Romans 12, Paul said that this world system is trying to squeeze us into thinking a certain way. He said, don't be conformed by the pressures that this world system, and we know who's in charge of the world system. The god of this world, Satan is, isn't he?
Sure.
And so here's the thing. We've got to elevate our thinking through the Word. And we've got to come to the place where as we cultivate this boldness in the Spirit, this boldness of faith, where we can look at things through the eyeglasses of destiny in God and look at that and say, okay, this is not just an obstacle. This is an opportunity. Glory to God. And we'll run to the battle. Bless God. Just bring it on. Amen? Because we'll be just like David. My God will deliver you into my hands. Isn't that right? And we have to, you have to cultivate that. That is not in our humanity, in our flesh seeks comfort. Amen? You know, somebody made this observation, and I think there's some truth to it. You know, he says, the very, very extremely poor have a survival mentality. The poor live from day to day, okay? Then you got the next group of people, they live from paycheck to paycheck. Then you got another group of people that live, you know, every 30-day cycle. And then you got those who are very rich, they live on a long-term thinking. I think there's something to that. And, you know, spiritually, it can be the same way with us. We got a lot of Christians, they're just trying to live to survive. They don't have a clue about God's will or destiny or plan for their lives and how it will affect not only them, but the kingdom of God and the body of Christ that they're a part of. And they're just hoping they can make it another day. And God says, I want to elevate that. I want to elevate that. And you know, it's a shame that in some places in the body of Christ, we've almost made it evil to think differently. Oh, that's wicked. Yeah, don't be thinking about some reward. Don't be thinking about the blessing. What's the matter with you? Well, look at David. He said, now, what did the king say he's going to do? He's going to elevate the family. They're going to be tax-free. They're not going to have to pay any more taxes. That's pretty good. And not only that, he said, they're going to get to be the king's son-in-law. Come on. Listen, God made us. He knows what motivates us. Why do you think God gave us promises? Why do you think God promised blessings? Come on. Mm-hmm. He knows what motivates. He made us that way. There's nothing wrong with that. And we need to understand, hey, you know what? I want God's best. I want God's best. Don't let this old religious attitude get on you. Well, now, I don't want nothing that God don't want me to have. Well, he's already said all the promises are yea and amen. So if you really mean what you say, that you only want what God wants you to have, then you should want all the blessings of God. Because he said all the promises are yes and amen. Amen? He said that he's called you to be the head, not the tail. He's called you to be victorious, not defeated. He's called you to show forth what? The salvation of Jesus. Well, how does hunkering down in the bunker, afraid of our own shadow, unwilling to take any risk, always trying to seek the easiest way, how does that show any glory to God? See, we've got to be able to see, okay, God, I'm looking at my circumstances in my life right now. I'm looking at decisions I've got to make. And God, I am not going to be motivated by fear, by doubt. I am going to be motivated by what God is saying, what the Spirit is saying, what the purpose and plan of my God has said. Mm-hmm. How many times have God told us? He made it real clear in Hebrews 11. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want God to get all your ducks in a row and everything lined up and everything's just so-so and just perfect and absolutely there's no element of risk. There's nothing there. And that's not faith. That's human ingenuity. You're trying in your humanity to get everything just right so that you can be sure. Listen, your surety is in Him. You know, one of the things, it's crazy, but one of the things that hinders us sometimes is not only fear and doubt, but sometimes, you know, we sit back on our previous accomplishments in the Spirit. And that can hold us back just as much as being timid can. We sit back and say, well, bless God. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. Man, we're saved by grace. We're not into this works thing. We're not doing works. We're saved by grace. We get a revelation about that. And man, we sit down right there. Or us full gospel folks. Man, we get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you know. Speak in tongues, you know. A couple of Crankamahandas and Bubba Bashundas. And boy, here we are. We've arrived. Or maybe, we got a prophecy or two. And I'm not making light of that. You know better than that. I'm like Paul. I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. But here's the thing. You know what I'm saying is we can get to place. Well, bless God. Because you know who always opposes the next move of God? The people who were in the last move.
Yeah. That's right.
And the people that opposed the move that they're in was the people that were in the move previous to that. That's the way it always works. Yeah. But here's the thing. Can we be willing? This is why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. He didn't just say, forget the bad things that are behind. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. And pressing on toward that which lies ahead. He said, we're going to seek for the what? The high call. That's what we're talking about. This destiny, this purpose. It's the high call in God. You can settle anywhere.
Sure.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know, I'm human like you. It's easy. Boy, we like that comfort thing. Our flesh doesn't like taking risk. Our flesh doesn't like the unknown. Our flesh doesn't like that. You mean I'm not in control? I don't know about this. And so what we've got to do is we've got to let go, no matter how good, no matter how bad it's been. And we've seen people that have a victim mentality, haven't we? You've been around people. Life's been tough on them. You know, maybe they were abused. Life has been hard. It seemed like they, you know, you talk to some people and, yeah, man, your heart goes out to them because it seems like they've just gone from one bad thing to the next bad thing to the next bad thing. And I mean, it didn't seem to have been anything good in their life. Man, your heart goes out to them. And you know what? That bends them a certain way, doesn't it? In their thinking. And Paul says what we've got to learn to do is to let go of that. Because if they don't let go of that, they keep bringing that victim mentality into every day and every moment they live. They're just waiting for the next bad thing. That's all they talk about. They're sad, they're depressed all the time. But you know what? Yeah, we understand that, but sometimes we don't understand how holding on and camping out where things were good, where God did something good, where God was in this, where God blessed this, we don't understand how that can hold us back too.
Yeah.
You remember we call the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember that in the scriptures? Jesus went up and took that inner circle, you know, Peter, James, and John. Took those three up. And while he was up there, you know the story. Jesus was transfigured. You know, dead people appeared and he started talking to dead people. Boy, I wonder what would happen in church if that happened today. We talk to a dead person. Oh, that's a cult. All I can tell you is what the scriptures say. Elijah and Moses appeared to him. As far as I know, in Jesus' day, they'd been dead a while. Oh, boy. And then on top of that, God spoke out of heaven in an audible voice. And Jesus was so transfigured, they couldn't even look at him. I mean, you think you've been in a service. Well, you think you was in a service like that? Oh, man. You ain't never heard of it. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, and they reacted the same way most of us would have reacted as humans. They said, Jesus, boy, I'm paraphrasing. This is great what's happening here. Let's stay right here and build three tabernacles. One to you, one to Elijah, one to Moses, and we'll just stay up here. They wanted to just revel in that glory, revel in that experience. I mean, it was wonderful. But you know what was going on down at the base of that mountain? Do you remember that part? There was a man with a son who had a devil. And nine apostles of the Lamb couldn't cast it out. So don't feel so bad sometimes if you have a problem. Amen. They were just human. I'm glad God put it. They were just human too, weren't they? They were learning and growing. But Jesus said, no, he said, we got to go down. Listen, the reason God had you in that move, the reason you made a choice, you were involved in that, God did something in that, was not so we could build tabernacles and stay right there and try to repeat that experience and relive that experience and you know, make some kind of denomination out of that experience. No, it was to equip us to go on to the next thing.
Amen.
So that we could set the captive free. So that we could fulfill our destiny and purpose in God. Amen?
Amen.
We have to cultivate this. And the reason I use the word cultivate is it's not going to happen naturally. I close with this. You know, of course, it's a little past that time now. It's growing season now. But, you know, if you planted a garden or whatever, you know, when you plant a garden, we used to have a big family garden when I was growing up as a boy out in the country. And, you know, I found this out, that if you just let it go, you know what? The tomatoes and the beans and all that, they didn't grow too good. But something did. Man, in my part of the country, it was Johnson grass. Anybody know what Johnson grass is? I believe that stuff could grow in the Sahara. I mean, it could be a drought and everything burned up. And that stuff it gets so thick and it grow up this high. I mean, you know. And that's the way it is. You know, because of the curse that's on things, if we just let things happen naturally, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be weeds. We're going to seek the comfort. We're going to hold on to the hurts. We're going to camp out at the good place. We're going to try to stay right there because that's comfortable. It's known. But here's the thing. If we'll cultivate, that means we're going to have to pluck up some things. We're going to have to fertilize some things. We're going to have to nurture some things. And we're going to have to, on purpose, do that when it comes to being bold in God, having a bold faith, moving out, seeing obstacles as opportunities, seeing circumstances as a way to move forward. Making choices, not in circumstance, not out of fear, but making them in God. Yeah. Looking through our destiny. And be like David. We're going to run to the roar. Bless God. Listen, the roar of a lion never hurt anybody. Are you listening? The roar of a lion never hurt anybody. What's the roar for? It's to intimidate you. Intimidate you. But here's the thing. That's what we got to cultivate it. Get in the Word. Cultivate it. Act against your fears. Amen. You get hold of the promise of God. Act against that thing. Run toward the battle. God will be there. God will show up. You say, well, what if? Well, if you got what ifs, you need to act against the what ifs. Because there are no what ifs in the promise of God. God didn't say, I'll do this, but, you know, in case I don't. No, He just says, here's what I'll do. Amen? Amen. So we're going to have to cultivate this. I want to see us individually and corporately here at Grace. I want us to reach for the high call. The high call. You said, well, Pastor, what if we miss it a little bit? Well, bless God, I'd rather reach for the 100 and hit 99 than reach for 60 and make it. Amen. Let's go for it. You say, oh, but I don't know, about taking risk. Listen, get back with God. Get in the Word. Get faith built up in you. Amen? Where you say, bless God, the God in me is bigger than the risk I'm looking at. It's bigger than the obstacle I'm looking at. Let's don't miss our day of visitation like Jesus told Jerusalem. Amen? I don't want to miss it. How about you? Amen? Amen? Praise God. Well, ushers, if you come forward, and give you an opportunity to give, and then we'll pray over you and let you go. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this tonight? We need to move forward. If you need an envelope, they'll serve you with one. But you know, this is what it takes if we're going to move forward in God. And each of us have to make that decision. And remember what I said. When we make that decision, we're not only just making it for ourselves. We're making it for people in our lives. We're making it for our family. We're making it for the family of God. We're making it for the kingdom of God. It's all interdependent. You can't just make a decision, independently and it not affect other people. It's just not the way the kingdom's set up. God made us to be that way. Isn't that right? And that's really selfishness, isn't it? Isn't that what that's about? We're acting selfishly. We don't care if it hurts somebody else, as long as I get what I want. Isn't that that's selfish, isn't it? And here's the thing: for me to stay in my comfort zone when I know that God has more for me, that's selfish. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to help us to look and see it for what it really is. Amen. I don't want to be selfish in my comfort zone. If God's asking me to move out, then I want to move out and I want to move forward. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you got your offering ready there. We'll pray over it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to walk out your divine will. I thank you, Lord, that we're not just like driftwood on the ocean, bobbing here and there in whatever circumstance and whichever way the wind blows. That's how our life goes. But Lord, we have a destiny in you. You have predestined us. You're with us. You're in us. You're working with us. Lord, by the grace of God and your Spirit, we're going to seize our opportunities. We're going to see things differently. We're going to move and run toward the roar, not run away from it. Lord, bless the people as they give. Receive our gifts now. May they honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Briggs, how was your Father's Day? Was it good?
Very good.
Hallelujah. Did you get on the golf course with your daughter?
Saturday morning.
I hear you. That's good. That's good. What?
Tell them where we're going.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not going to be here this Sunday. We're going to go up to New York. Mm-hmm. Going to visit family up there, send his family and all. Mm-hmm. Have a family reunion, that kind of thing. And
graduation,
yeah. Our niece is graduating from high school, and she's got this big, what's it called, presidential?
Presidential scholarship.
$80,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could say she got that smarts from me, but that's Cindy's side of the family. So there's just no way I can make that spin. But we're going to be up there for a few days and everything. And Brother Jerry Lynch, a good friend of ours, missionary to Mexico, he's going to be here. And, of course, the elders are here, and they'll take care of things. If you have anything, they're here. Bless God. They'll come a-running if you need them. But you know what? God's in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Just run to the roar. Use the name of Jesus. You guys know. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Listen, isn't it good to know? It's thrilling to me to know that there's more to life than paying a mortgage and paying umpteen hundred light bills and all that. I mean, you know, we got to do that. I mean, I understand that. But, you know, our life is more than that. Your life is more than that. Don't lose sight of that. Say, yeah, but God hadn't called me to be a preacher or this. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He still has a destiny. And he has a plan. And your part is vital. Your part is vital. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're insignificant. That belittles the cross. He's trying to belittle the cross when he says that your life's insignificant. Because that means that Jesus really didn't die that much for you. He died for some other hot shot somewhere. Come on. That's a lie. Amen. There's no one more valuable to God than you. Or more loved. And don't you let the enemy tell you different. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. I bless your people, Lord, as they go. May their sleep be sweet and their rest be good. May they rise up refreshed. And Father, wherever they go tomorrow, may they carry the fragrance of Jesus. And Father, whatever they're facing, I pray, oh God, that they will run to the roar and see the victories of God in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.